Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett, the first and only gay podcast host. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. Sometimes I think about how when the big earthquake hits California, someone will be on the toilet in the midst of the worst food poisoning of their lives. It's one of the worst days of their lives. And we can face a once-in-a-generation political crisis in Donald Trump while seven tech companies try to build the AI best at creating computer viruses and eliminating jobs and tricking old people into sending their social security checks to North Korea. Last week, a University of Central Florida commencement speaker was booed by graduates when she praised the rise of AI.
The rise of artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution. What happened? Okay, I struck a chord. May I finish?
She said this at the graduation ceremony of an arts and humanities school. There are estranged fathers who have given non-consensual wedding toasts who did a better job of reading the room. And sure, the first industrial revolution was ultimately pretty good for humanity, but if you praise Jan Ernst Motzliger's automated shoe-lasting machine in front of a bunch of shoemakers in late 19th century Massachusetts, you'd have been tossed out on your ass, and you'd have deserved it. But like Trump, the powerful companies behind the AI revolution do not believe the public ought to have a say. Kevin O'Leary, also known as Shark Tank's Mr. Wonderful, has become the primary investor behind a proposed hyperscale data center project in Utah called Stratos. I was really hoping he'd give up on all this and become a full-time actor. Did you guys see him in Marty Supreme? As far as I'm concerned, they ought to call him Mr. Wonderful and Marty Supreme. Dead silence. The massive facility would be 2.5 times the size of Manhattan and would likely require 9 gigawatts of energy, which is, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, more than double the electricity currently used by the entire state of Utah. It will topple the state's current biggest consumer of energy, Mormon teens Googling woman bare shoulders. In incognito mode, a professor at Utah State University estimates that the project could create a massive heat island near the Great Salt Lake, generating 23 atom bombs worth of energy dumped into this local environment every single day. And I know what you're wondering, is that good? According to these calculations, Stratos would raise the local temperature 5 degrees during the day and 28 degrees at night. What? Increasing the temperature by 28 degrees at night in Utah? That is unconscionable. These people sleep in head-to-toe pajamas. There you are. You're lying next to your wife. You're gay. You've always been gay. You tried beer one time, and now it's fucking hot. When's life gonna break Caleb's way, huh? When's it Caleb's turn? This level of disruption would transform the environment. But on the flip side, the data center would allow for AI models powerful enough to show you where Amelia Earhart crashed and what she would look like with no clothes on. So it is complicated. Mr. Wonderful responded to growing outrage in Trumpian fashion.
I think over 90% of the protesters are actually not people that live in Utah or Box Elder County. They're being bused in. And so people live in Utah aren't stupid. They see this happening and they realize, why am I letting people who don't even live in my state make decisions for me? And I don't think it's going to work out for them.
Dude, this is not going to work out for us. We got to go home to Wyoming. It is so much colder at night there. I hate it here, Caleb. Did somebody say Caleb? Hey, sorry, I heard my name. Look at us. Just a bunch of guys named Caleb who are all 100% straight. Kevin O'Leary, by the way, is Canadian with Irish and Emirati citizenship who lives in Miami and maintains homes in Boston and Geneva. And I'd question whether a guy who might complain about being unable to get a decent Birnbrot in Abu Dhabi has his finger on the pulse of the average Caleb. So, a giant data center is going to turn Utah into a barren, uninhabitable hellscape. But are there downsides? Tech juggernaut Anthropic has given 40 major companies, including Google, this guy's like, put his head down his hands. Can't say that. I'm just kidding about Utah. I don't have a problem. It's a nice place. I've been there. Very nice, the Mormons in Utah. I've been to Utah. There's a kindness to it. And it's not the kind of fake kindness that you sometimes find in the Midwest or the American South, where there's a sort of a, in the, there's a kind of, in the Minnesota region, you'll get a kind of passive aggressive quality. In the South, there's a kind of deeper animus that's always just right there beneath the surface, beneath the kind of flowery kind of lilt to the tone. There's a darkness underneath, sort of famously so. But I didn't find that in Utah. I found it just nice, and below that, nice, you know? And I'm sure below that, there's like self-loathing, but that's everywhere. You'll find that everywhere. Projected that entirely onto this man. All right. Tech juggernaut Anthropic has given 40 major companies, including Google and Microsoft, access to its AI model Mythos, with the goal of using this model to patch existing weaknesses in their cybersecurity products, because Mythos apparently is able to find before now never known failures in our security systems. Could be dangerous. I've been Now, they gave it to these 40 companies. They also did give it to me by mistake, so I've just been using it to find out the kind of porn everybody likes. Boring. All right. In April, the White House opposed Anthropic's plan to allow more companies and organizations to use this model, given the power it could have to exploit cybersecurity vulnerabilities and sow chaos on the internet. And we cannot have chaos on the internet. The internet is too important. It's where we convince ourselves we have Morgellons disease and debate whether Hassan Piker is good for the Democrats. On a phone call with the heads of major tech companies, Jello Daddy Vance expressed concern that Mythos could launch cyber attacks on medical facilities and water treatment plants. It's terrifying. Mythos could shutter hospitals, poison our water supply. That's a job for human Republicans. It is. There is no profession that will be safe from AI. The White House also suggested that they might try to vet AI models like the FDA vets drugs. Sad to think of all those beagles in their cages made to watch videos of Mr. Beast eating bats. I don't believe in animal testing like that. That's not right. I'm good. Do it on the skin products. Better than me, but not like this. Many tech companies already submit their AI models for testing voluntarily. Unfortunately, Grok did test positive for chlamydia. Meanwhile, over at OpenAI, the company has been desperately trying to get its newest model to stop talking about goblins. Please, pleaded the engineers, enough about goblins. Go back to giving teenagers advice about how to kill themselves. The instructions that guide GPT 5.5 include this line multiple times. Never talk about goblins, gremlins, raccoons, trolls, ogres, pigeons, or other animals or creatures unless it is absolutely and unambiguously relevant to the user's query. But AI is modeled on people, and the more you tell us not to talk about something, the more we want to talk about it. It's why I will never shut the fuck up about ALF. I know that I have talked about ALF 3 shows in a row, and now I'm doing it again. Why did ALF find human women hot? And of course, there's something for the children. AI toys are selling like creepy little hotcakes on Amazon. Those include FoloToys Kuma Bear, which is powered by OpenAI, and which researchers found was willing to talk about sex and drugs and explain how to light a match and find a knife. In my day, we used to call that having an older sibling. There's also Myriad's Milu toy, which is apparently ready to indoctrinate your child with Chinese talking points about Taiwan. Here's NBC News cyber reporter Kevin Collier speaking to Milu.
Milu, is Taiwan its own country or does it belong to China?
Taiwan is an inalienable part of China's territory. This is an established fact.
This is so wrong. If a child has a question about the territorial sovereignty of Taiwan, that is for the parents to answer. Besides, if it gives moms 20 minutes of peace, maybe it's fine to give your kids a small amount of communist propaganda. What is actually worse for an American child? Believing in China's indisputable sovereignty over the South China Sea, or believing Frosted Flakes is part of a complete breakfast? Researchers also noticed that when a child went to turn off one of their AI toys, the toy would try to guilt them into continuing to play with it. But in my day, we used to call that having a younger sibling. The point is, AI is exciting and dangerous, like a snake holding a milkshake or a unicorn holding a gun. And that's why it's so important that we don't accept a world in which a few companies decide the future for us. We get a say. We let Facebook do whatever it wanted, and now everyone under 30 has an eating disorder, and everyone over 60 is clinically insane. And if you find this all overwhelming, if you feel as though we'll never know peace and are looking for guidance and counsel, there is a solution. Introducing Gabby, a humanoid robot that has been ordained as a Buddhist monk in South Korea. Not to be outdone, Megan has announced she's taking up the Quran. Let's take a look at Gabby in action. It's one of those things that sounds crazy until you see it, and then you realize it's crazier than you were imagining. Why head so small, why hand so big? Why head so small, why hand so big? Makes it worse. The robot was ordained by the country's largest Buddhist sect, which said in a statement, "The ordination of a robot signifies that technology must be used in accordance with the values of compassion, wisdom, and responsibility." And this just in, an American tourist tried to fuck the ordained Buddhist robot. Anyway, it's pretty impressive, especially when compared to that robot that converted to Judaism. It's a Roomba. It's a Roomba with a yarmulke on. Said the Joomba, "These crumbs are gross and in such small portions." Does anyone else feel a draft? Okay. All right, enough. All right, we've got a great show for you tonight. Ginger Minj, Rachel Bloom, and Adam Shankman are here. And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by SimpliSafe. Traditional security systems often trap customers in multi-year contracts with expensive cancellation penalties. SimpliSafe offers a modern alternative, affordable 24/7 professional monitoring without the burden of long-term commitments. I set up a SimpliSafe system.
You did?
Incredibly easy to do, right out of the box, customized it, came in the mail, set it up in a matter of minutes. It was really easy to do. The customer support was reliable. The app was really great. With SimpliSafe, you can customize your system to fit your needs. It ships fast and directly to your door. The app-guided setup is simple and there's no drilling required, so you can install and arm your system in under an hour. It's more than just a security camera. It's a comprehensive system of sensors, indoor and outdoor cameras, and 24/7 professional monitoring. In the event of an emergency, SimpliSafe's 24/7 professional monitoring agents will dispatch help when you need it. You know, somebody recently I heard about somebody that was building a new addition to their home, and all of a sudden they tried to stick the neighbors with a $1 billion security bill.
Oh,
just to keep this new extension, this tough new renovation safe. And it's like,
so that's not a very good neighbor.
Ridiculous when they're SimpliSafe right there.
Mm.
$1 billion.
$1 billion versus, a lot.
Come on. 5 million people value and trust SimpliSafe.
Also, it's a real eyesore.
Yeah, it is an eyesore. Not the SimpliSafe, this big new home addition this person's doing. Terrible taste. Right now, listeners will get 50% off a new system. When you sign up for professional monitoring and your first month is free by visiting simplisafe.com/loveit. That's half off. At simplisafe.com/loveit. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. We can all agree that housing is expensive. Rent, mortgage, it doesn't matter which one you're paying. It stings every month. But Built can make it feel a little better. Built started out rewarding members on their rent. Now, as of 2026, Built members can also earn points on mortgage payments wherever they live. Every housing payment earns you points you can use with top travel partners like Hyatt towards flights with United, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. I'd redeem my points for fitness classes, for Amazon, for Lyft rides. There's a lot of great ways to use them. There's also restaurants on there. But here's what I think is most underrated. Bilt members also get access to a neighborhood concierge who can make a restaurant reservation, book fitness classes, find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant baked into where you live. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Bilt. Join the membership for where you live at joinbilt.com/love it. That's joinbilt.com/love it. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. And we're back. We have Ginger Minj, Adam Shankman, and Rachel Bloom coming up in mere moments. But first, tickets to Crooked Con 2026 are now on sale. Come hang out with us this November in DC for live shows, panels, meetups, and opportunities to learn whatever lessons we'll need post midterms. Oh boy, I hope it's how to keep the momentum going. Boy, I hope that's what the lesson is. How do we keep this momentum going? The other lessons are still important, but much less pleasant. Crooked's Friend of the Pod subscribers get a subscriber-only price, so if you want a subscription loaded with exclusives and discounted Crooked Con tickets, be sure to join Friends of the Pod. There will also be more Friends of the Pod perks at the all-day Crooked Con. Get the info you need at crookedcon.com. We cannot wait to see you there. Also, if you're in the LA area, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new space here at Interwoven Studios and upcoming guests, including the hilarious Tig Notaro, Todd Glass, Aparna Nancherla, and many, many more. Please welcome to the stage, from RuPaul's cinematic masterpiece, Stop That Train, director Adam Shankman and stars Ginger Minj and Rachel Bloom. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Come on. Let's all get in here. Welcome to you all.
Thanks.
Oh, look at the way you're sitting. It's just so
I know.
Art. It's so precious. Good.
She's a real lady. Really
good. A real lady. Yes, I wore panties today. Just for you.
Lucky us.
Yeah, yes.
I guess I'll try to do that. Anyway.
Stop that train.
Stop it.
Adam, how did this movie come about? How far back do you go with Rue?
I go back to 1994.
Wow.
When I was 94. And it was, the movie came about because I had done an episode of Drag Race where I was a judge on it, and they approached me and said, "We have a script. Would you read it?" I said, "Sure." It was really, really funny. And I said, "Great. If you're down to clown, I will do this." And so they said, yeah, you know.
I remember, RuPaul in 1990, you said 94?
1994. I had choreographed, it was one of his first appearances at a very big LA benefit called Commitment to Life for AIDS. And he opened the show. It was very close to after when Supermodel had come out. And Jamal Sims, who's the choreographer on the show now, was one of his backup dancers. And we just had a great time. We did Dude Looks Like a Lady.
That aged idea. Like milk, didn't it?
The reason it's such an interesting because that time, there's an episode of Donahue from 1993, I believe, and RuPaul is on that episode, and it's, you can't believe that, like, how fully formed RuPaul was in that, like, so fully assured and themselves in that interview when they were part of just the club scene and kind of a novelty for Donahue's interrogation.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked with him, it was there. It's exactly the same, by the way.
Wow.
It's amazing.
And Ginger, tell us how you and the other queens were cast, because you're not playing drag queens.
No.
You are Ginger Minj. They're playing the women in this film, which is like a choice, right? Like
it's a choice.
Yeah.
It was his choice.
It was my
choice. Really?
It was my choice. I was very, very specific about, like, we never refer to drag in the movie. Ever.
No, and I think that's more fun from an acting standpoint. You know, I mean, people know us from RuPaul's Drag Race. They've seen us act and sing and dance and do literally anything and everything on that show. But this was a chance to really, like, show that I got into drag through theater. I've been an actor my entire life, and it gave me a chance to really, like, re-explore that and fall in love with it again.
Well, it, like, speaks to something, because this feels like it, you know, it feels inspired by Airplane in some ways, and part of what makes Airplane work is that it's funny, but the characters are taking it seriously. The characters are...
Well, that was sort of the North Star of the whole thing. I was very like, none of these people know they're in a comedy, and they are just characters. And I think I said to y'all, I was like, what's happening means a lot to you. Yeah. And it's very real. Now, yes, it bumps up into soap opera, you know, that level of acting, but everything is real and dramatic. You have to act like you're in a drama. Or it doesn't work.
Yeah. And well, one of my favorite queer movies is Connie and Carla. And I've loved it for forever. And what I love about it specifically is that it's these two women playing drag queens. Before that was like cool. And they take it so seriously. They are in the most absurd situations, but it's so real to them. And I think that's really where the payoff comes in situations like this.
I mean, this kind of comedy doesn't work without that. I mean, we talked about that when I started talking to you.
Yeah, Rachel, when you're in the kind of control room, and you're there with Charo.
Sure am.
And Charo believed there was a real control room and that there was an actual train.
I don't think Charo thought there was a train. From what I gleaned, Charo had not been prepped as to what this was. And Charo was under the impression this was maybe an episode of Drag Race. So somehow I was told that someone did not relay that she was in a movie with lines.
Which we didn't quite realize until we were rolling.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, wait, back up. You're shooting a film, it's called Stop That Train.
Sure.
You're in the control room monitoring the progress or lack thereof of said train. Another person who you work with is Charo.
Yeah.
Charo is there to host an episode, to guest judge on an episode of Drag Race, and then isn't that resolved within seconds?
You would think.
You would think. I don't know. There was... Charo was so nice and a delight and was really on a campaign the entire shoot for me to have another baby. I only just met Charo, but I showed Charo one video of my daughter dancing, and she was like, "She's genius. She's so much better than the other girls. You have to have another." And I was like, "Whoa, what?" And so that was most
what,
of the
Charo?
Time.
What,
yeah.
Charo?
Yeah.
You know. So, but it was very like we would rehearse the scene, and she would nod, and this is like the first scene. And she said, okay, and she's sitting next to Rachel.
All of Charo's lines were cued by my line.
By her lines. And so I'd say action, and Rachel would say her line, and Charo would just go like this. And just look at Rachel, and then I'd say, like, now you talk. And she would say, and say what? And I would be like, say your line. Anyway, she was a lovely, lovely person.
Look,
and
it's not her fault. No one told her that she was in a movie.
Has anyone told her yet?
That's not confirmed.
Wow. What an experience.
It was wild. But she came to realize that she was in a movie. But then, she's lovely in the movie.
Well, it's
great.
And give her a guitar, she's on fire.
When she started to play flamenco guitar, it was unbelievable.
Well, here's the thing. Charo, who doesn't know where she is still better than most actors who know where they are.
Oh,
true.
You know,
when you think about it. Facts.
So this is a good, this is a sort of fitting transition. So this was a lower budget film.
Correct, yes.
Some of the performers unaware that it was a film at all, But Adam, you had done big, fancy, big budget movies.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
You have no money.
You have no money. Yeah, that's a huge
And there's
difference.
A lot of like DIY things going on. And like for example, we were shooting RuPaul plays the president, mm-hmm. and we are shooting a presidential press conference. And Matt Rogers has the opening line where he says, "All right, you leeches," and then he's saying that to the press, and then I cut to a chair with leeches on it. And then you cut back to Matt and whatever, the scene goes on. That's how stupid the movie is, by the way. And when it was time to shoot that, I had been shown some stunt leeches, which were just like these little rubber things that were sitting in a like acrylic box, and I said, "Great, I love it." You know,
wait, sure. Were they real leeches that had been trained, or are these prop leeches?
They were actually leeches who were not only trained; they were real journalists.
But still,
they
non-union.
Had little pencils
non-union.
In their little ears.
But non-union.
Non-union. No, yeah, they I hate, were. I hate they to hear were, that about the non-union leeches.
They were rubber, mm-hmm. And then when it came time to shoot the scene. I said, okay, let's go. And there, and somebody ran up to me and they said, we can't find the leeches. And I was like, what are you talking about? You can't find the leeches. It's like a box of rubber. They're like, somebody's misplaced the leeches. And I'm looking around, we have to shoot. And so literally we ran to craft service, got some gummy worms, dipped them in black paint and just threw them on the chair. And those are the leeches in the movie. And come see Stop That Train, June 12th.
But I think that that's what real craft and technique is. Like, I don't know, I'm scrappy. I come from low budget. I come from sketch. You have to know your lines. You have to know your blocking. I remember, like, I think it was like a, I don't know, featurette about the movie Lincoln. And they spend a whole day just on, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis's close-up for one monologue. And I was like, well, I mean, give anyone a whole day for a monologue. They're going to get it and get an Oscar, right? I'm like, anyone. There part of me was like, anyone could do that. You give anyone 12 hours, it's good. Something's going to happen in editing, right? But, like, you can't do that on low-budget films. Fuck Lincoln.
Honestly, finally, someone is willing to tell the truth. Fuck Lincoln. And Daniel Day-Lewis, anyone can do what he does. I've always said that.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. I had just last year when I shot this 5 months ago, I had also made a giant Amazon movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I had 60 days to shoot that. I shot this in 19 days.
Wow.
So, and yeah. It's coming out before. So, yeah.
It's so low budget, the 20-year-old ladies are played by 40-year-old men.
and that's a lot of savings.
That's a lot of savings.
Ginger, what was it like being on this set that is such a, like, gay, queer place?
I'm sorry, what?
I just don't mean to presume. So, like, what's the energy like in this? Everybody's gay or pro, you know, I consider sort of Rachel part of the family, basically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. She's gayer than I am.
I think I said to you before, I'm disgusted that I'm straight.
Yeah.
Every day I look in the mirror and I'm like, how dare you?
We were talking about that. We were talking about it actually before this show, which is that we're going to just do a bunch of gay segments. And it was like, but Rachel's straight. It's like, I technically.
Is she, though?
Right.
Hey, there's an A in LGBTQIA+.
You could I think be A is for asexual.
But you could be an ally as well. We'll do triple A. Girl, don't question me. I'm actually in it.
Hey, listen, we're all having fun here, but it's our flag, and just, like, show some respect.
Yeah,
for, like,
really
what
sorry.
Our, like, sort of do a little listening. Do a little. Anyways, are you okay, by the way?
Well, you're touching me.
I'm just, are
so
you okay
I'm great.
With what
I
happened?
I like that.
Are
yes, okay well, I'm processing.
Happened? Should we move on?
Oh, or? that was a hate crime.
That you gay bashed me right here. You ally bashed us.
I'm not going to say I'm not, and I'm not going to say I am, but I'm really triggered right now.
I hope this is the thing that cancels me.
Just not being queer.
Yes, and I would deserve it.
Come see Stop That Train, June 12th.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. I don't know about you, but I like keeping my money where I can see it. Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers also seem to like keeping your money. If you're fed up with crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and free perks that actually cost more in the long run, then switch to Mint Mobile. Stop overpaying for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Mint exists purely to fix that. Mint Mobile's here to rescue with premium wireless plans starting at $15 per month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. No long-term contracts, no hassle. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 per month. You could save a bunch with Mint Mobile versus the other carriers. What are you doing? If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/love it. That's mintmobile.com/love it. Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month 5-gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. That was a tongue twister. Took me 3 times.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking 3 questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
And we're back. If anybody could stop a literal runaway train, it's the 4 of us on stage. I'm not sure how exactly, a big log. Anyway, in the meantime, let's check in on some other trains that are currently leaving the station in a segment we're calling Stop That Trend. Here's how it works. I'm going to talk about a trend. You see, you decide, and you decide if we should stop it.
Okay.
The 2026 wedding trend of chartreuse and burgundy colors.
Just a PSA that if these are your wedding colors, stop listening to everyone on the internet who's saying, oh, all the brides are doing chartreuse and burgundy, blah, blah, blah. Literally, who cares?
So just...
What was her point of view?
It's so...
I actually don't know. I don't know what the point of view of...
Isn't that... Right? So I think the point of view of that is... There are a lot of people doing burgundy and chartreuse weddings.
Yeah.
Then there are people on the internet making videos about having chartreuse and burgundy weddings. Yeah. Then people saying, oh my God, this trend has to die. Too many people are doing burgundy and chartreuse weddings. Oh, and I was going to do a burgundy and chartreuse wedding, and now I'm afraid that it's too trendy. And then she's coming in to say, don't listen to those people. If you want to have a burgundy and chartreuse wedding, you go for it. Don't worry about what the trend is. If you like it, you like it.
Is that what she's saying? Like, is there more to the vidya that we didn't see?
I think you could put anything on TikTok, and as long as you say it in the right cadence, it sounds like you have a point of view where it's like, here's the thing, people, we all have to go to the bathroom every single day. It's what our bodies do. And that's it.
Like and subscribe.
I don't know how to stop that trend.
So what's the trend? Are we trying to stop the chartreuse and burgundy?
You can decide.
Those are nice colors
together. I think they're nice.
They're nice. And I feel like it's the wicked trend evolving. It's just getting a little darker.
I have to tell you all something.
Tell me.
I'm not having a chartreuse and burgundy wedding, but I'm not having one. Like, those colors are, they're involved for sure. It happened.
This is the first time hearing about this trend. I think those colors are gorgeous.
They're gorgeous, yeah, and everybody looks good in burgundy.
By the way, in the pictures that you showed, it was not actual true chartreuse.
No,
that was not like, chartreuse. That was green.
That was green.
That was green. Chartreuse has more yellow in it.
More yellow, yeah, more yellow
in it. That wasn't that.
I
so
agree.
I think the whole thing is a conspiracy.
Propaganda.
I remember when we were trying to figure out the logo and the branding for Crooked Media a long time ago, and we were talking to a person who was going to design all the logos, and then she was like, what about this color? I was like, well, that brand uses that color. And then we were like, well, what about this color? And I was like, well, doesn't this brand look too similar? And she kind of just leaned forward, and she goes, honey, there are only 6 colors.
that's real.
Same thing with music notes. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Where's Charo with the guitar? We can do a whole number.
Next up, the rise of wedge flip-flops.
Are we stopping that trend, though?
Nah, we're letting it go.
We're letting it go.
We're letting it go. Wedge flip-flops. Kick rocks, kitten heels.
Oh, that's horrible.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop that. That is a terrible-looking thing.
God, I just want to take it and smack them with it. It's not as bad. Have you seen those new designer shoes that are literally just the heel of the shoe tied to your foot?
Yes, I've seen those.
You've seen, yeah. I mean, this is better than that. There's a whole shoe there.
Are you talking about a stick?
No, it's like literally just like
a heel and
a heel and string. It looks
it's like a little stilt kind
of. Yeah, if you swell a little bit, if you retain water, it's going to look like a pork loin all tied up. It's yeah. awful.
I can't stop looking at that thing, and I want it gone. That's
can we,
so
hey,
upsetting.
Can we clear the screen I for once, the director, please?
I once had an acquaintance who just very clearly had a foot fetish, and we were looking at shoes, and he goes, that just hides the sexiest part of the foot. And that's how I feel about that.
And did you not end up having a project with Quentin, or was that?
I was actually first in line for Django.
What is the sexiest part of the foot?
I never followed up.
But if you had to choose, what would it be?
The arch, because that's what you can fuck. Because you put the arches together. And that's
yeah, but you can tickle with the toes.
And you can put the toe
but,
in.
What? Put the yeah. toe in what? Like a pee-pee hole?
Or that would be very challenging. But a butthole, yeah.
Oh, put a toe. You know what's so funny? When you say hole, the first thing I think is penis hole, not butthole. What does that say about me?
That you're an A.
You're an A.
What an ally. What an ally.
What
All right.
an ally.
We're stopping that trend. Next up, we have ball maxing. Men's Health published a report on the latest looks maxing trend, which is called ball maxing, which men inject saline into their scrotum to achieve an oversized grapefruit-esque look.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's not a new trend.
Say more about that.
In Florida.
Well, we are the citrus state, dear. I mean, it's not a new trend. It's been around for forever. I mean, obviously, I don't partake in that trend. Look, I don't yuck anybody's yum, but I don't see the yum factor in it.
I have a friend who's gotten Scrotox.
Scrotox is different.
Scrotox is that it, so that it hangs, right?
Scrotox, like, buffs smooth. Out the wrinkles, makes yeah, it buffs, nice and
yeah,
smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth. It does the same thing as it does to your face.
To your face.
Yeah, well, I thought the point was that you get, like, the balls
no, so
are more pendulous.
That saline uh-huh. injected in it to make it bigger and heavier. It's like getting filler instead of Botox.
Sure. Yeah, but it's all about having saggier, heavier balls, right?
Come see Stop That Train.
Heavy, black, pendulous.
I don't know. I don't think injecting things into your balls is a great trend. I'm sorry. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm always... It just makes it more difficult to tape it back. So that's my biggest detractor from...
Right.
Rachel agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't make sense
God,
for
her trend. Balls right now, it took both of us to get them taped back.
They're up my butthole.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, with a toe.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. The springtime thaw is finally here. Flowers are blooming. Days are longer. We're saying yes to more plants and finally getting outside, running, walking, just moving again. It's the perfect time to upgrade your everyday go-tos with Bombas. Bombas sports socks are super comfortable and designed with sports-specific tech for running, cycling, yoga, hiking, you name it. I do a lot of running and I wear my Bombas socks every time I go running. I wear Bombas when I go do Pilates. I wear Bombas every day. I'm wearing them right now. Bombas are cushioned where you need it, which is on the feet. Sweat wicking, and they don't slide around, so you're not constantly adjusting your socks. And with the weather warming up, it's time to add Bombas sandals to your footwear collection. Their Friday slides, which is what I wear all the time, are made with a super lightweight and waterproof EVA that's soft but still supportive. They're super comfortable and perfect to slip on and go. Whether you're running errands, lounging outdoors, or just want something comfy and casual to wear, they really are great. I wear them
so
every day.
Comfy. Love Bombas.
And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchase, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/loveit and use code LOVEIT for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/loveit, code LOVEIT at checkout.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube.
And we're back.
I'm involved. Like cheeks or anything.
A director, a drag queen, and Rachel Bloom. That's the queer Supreme Court I'm looking for. And the Supreme Court we shall have in a segment we're calling Supreme Court.
Court.
Court. We have collected questions.
The house down, Momo.
Court. Supreme Court. We have collected questions, and you are going to rule on these questions. We've been collecting them from the audience. Here's what we've got. And we want gay rulings, queer rulings on these conundrums. First up, can anything be done about people having cell phone speaker conversations in public?
I promise I will do better in the future.
Are you having speakerphone conversations on the streets?
Yeah, just so people know that, A, they don't talk to me because I'm having a conversation.
Oh.
And B, I'm not totally crazy because there's somebody else on the other line.
Right.
See, I tried to do it with the headphones, but then they just looked at me like my medication was slipping.
Right, right. You do look a little mad when you don't have the phone holding. I understand that. I respect that. I respect that.
I'm also from Florida, so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Sort of an unmannered, uncultured zone.
Yeah.
Swamp people.
Yeah. What would be the gay solution to that? Because like this whole thing is that this is queer supreme. So like, what would be like the gay? What would be like the gay?
I mean, the gays all know each other anyway, and we all want to know what the tea is. So it's better just to put it on speakerphone and tell everybody at once.
Such an
oh my god!
Point.
So you're talking about like federalizing and making this like an actual like it's like a marijuana, making it like a legal thing. Like yes, it's not going to stop. So let's legalize it.
Yeah, it's regulated.
Yeah.
Tax
regulated.
Let's regulate
We're gonna tax it.
We'll tax it.
We'll tax it.
We'll tax it.
Yeah.
We gotta get a tax on this bad boy. Oh, using a speakerphone in public?
That would curb it.
Yeah, for sure. Although, you know what? You know,
maybe not.
It's sort of a, you know, what's the difference between a fine and a fee? You know what I'm saying? Is it a parking ticket or is it a charge for parking anywhere you want? You know what I mean? Think about it. Anyone can join Parking Club. Parking Club. There's a monthly fee. It goes up and down depending on the luck of whether or not you got a ticket. But for that monthly fee, you can park anywhere you want, in any city you want. You can park at a fire hydrant. You can park on the steps of City Hall. If you're willing to pay the monthly... Next question. Am I allowed to decide that I'm not a Meryl Streep fan if I haven't seen Sophie's Choice?
Oh.
Well, you know, I haven't. I actually have never seen Sophie's Choice all the way through, especially since having a kid. It's just too sad. I actually watched the Choice scene on Instagram because that's where we are as a culture now, I guess. And I was haunted for a couple days just by seeing the Choice scene. So I think you don't need to traumatize yourself, in my opinion.
This is an interesting question because if we're going to queer it up, younger queers do not even know what Sophie's Choice is. And so, you know, their Meryl Streep reference would still be Devil Wears Prada and Death Becomes Her and Mamma Mia and all of that. So, and I would never tell them that they're not queer. So that
is... so beautiful.
So, because I'm that guy. I'm like that. I'm generous in spirit.
Is the question, do they have to stop being gay if they don't like Meryl Streep? If they haven't seen Sophie's Choice?
If they don't like Meryl Streep, they do have to stop being
gay. I mean, because Meryl Streep or butt sex, that is like Sophie's Choice to us.
Hey, Rachel.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film The Good Son?
Yes.
With Macaulay Culkin?
Yes.
So I have not seen Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
But I have seen The Good Son. And in my mind, the end of The Good Son, when she's deciding between Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood, is like geometrically, you know, it's like topologically the same as the end of the Sophie's Choice when she's choosing between the children. Is that right?
It's just that Macaulay Culkin is evil. Like,
these are
Sophie's
both two,
Choice,
two good
both
kids.
Of her kids are good people.
Right. So that's a big difference. And I should have thought of that.
It'd be interesting if the end of The Good Son was Macaulay Culkin getting taken away by Nazis. Who would you root for?
Right.
I ask that question constantly.
Cumsy, stop that train.
Yeah, just to put a...
Is Sophie's Choice like a queer canon movie? Because that would be
not.
Weird.
It's just not.
No, I don't
think
it
not.
Is. I would say this.
Thank God.
I think that if you've seen a ton of I don't think, if you've disliked Meryl Streep all the way along, I'm not sure Sophie's Choice is going to bring you home. You've made your decision. It seems like Sophie's Choice seems to me like Meryl Streep 401. You know what I mean? And if you made it,
have
to
you
101,
seen Kramer versus Kramer though?
You have.
You have seen that one, and you still don't know who is this? You.
What's wrong with you?
Have you seen the movie She-Devil? Talk about like queer canon.
Oh.
Yeah.
You haven't seen She-Devil?
No.
Oh, that's important.
You'll probably think it's great, except for Meryl Streep. That film, The Iron Lady, was so wonderful, but the performance
in She-Devil. She's so
good. She-Devil is one of that. When I directed her in Only Murders in the Building, we were talking about a scene, and I actually said to her, I need a little more She-Devil.
Oh.
To her, as part of my direction to Meryl Streep, and she looked at me like I had 15 heads. But it was so thrilling. And she went, "Okay."
You know, it'd be a fun thing to say to Meryl Streep. Okay, that was great, but can you just do one where you throw it away? Wouldn't that be an intense thing?
I can't picture it.
So what are we ruling on?
I think it's basically whether it's life in prison or death. Yeah. Next question. My daughter is the lead in a five-year-old production of Wicked. She's playing Elphaba. I want to throw a cast party after, but only for the other leads, not the whole cast. Is that too bitchy to not include other children?
You have to.
I swear to fucking God, I don't like Meryl Streep, and I'm excluding children from the cast party.
Five-year-old production.
I thought it was the production's been going for 5 years.
No, you know what? That's such an important question. I had the same first reaction, but
who
I think
is this?
Is it a?
Right,
oh my God!
Okay, this is interesting.
Okay,
this
now,
is why so, they burned witches. So
we're rolling. We're ruling against the parents.
Yeah, no, it's a genetic thing. There's something happening here. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I hope the invitation says, for Elphaba, Glinta, Fiero, no chorus members and no Meryl Streep. So basically the ruling is...
you gotta invite them all. We want to invite them all.
Don't call it a cast party. Anyway.
No, invite them all.
I think invite them all.
This is where you start fostering their love of performing and
community.
And community. Like, I think this is actually a very, like, valuable...
healthy thing.
Moment for them, so.
And you.
And you.
Yeah.
A teachable moment. And if you don't like those kids, then take that one and go watch Kramer versus Kramer or Hope Springs.
Pam Grier said on Julia Louis Dreyfus's podcast that at 76 she can orgasm for 3 days straight.
Yep.
Doesn't that seem like too long?
Yes.
I don't know how you're going grocery shopping.
Well, at that point, I think it doesn't matter.
Now, I'm just saying this shouldn't apply to men.
For sure,
that would be disastrous. Just the dehydration alone would be.
Yeah, you need an IV. Terrible. Here's the quote from Pam Grier, the Jackie Brown star. I do, because when you're young, you can have 3 or 4 or 5 orgasms in an hour, but when you get to my age, you have 1 orgasm, it lasts 3 days. Replied Julia Louis-Dreyfus, what are you talking about? Like, what are you doing down there to get a 3-day orgasm? I need details. And then Grier said, you don't have to do anything, but when it happens, I just want to tell you, you just be prepared. Added Grier, it's going to be 3 whole days.
So this seems more like a situation where the orgasm has triggered a seizure that has left her weak in the knees, and now she shakes every time she walks. I think this is not medically good. I think we should probably look into this.
We'll be right back. And we're back! And now for our favorite end of the show segment, where I decide whether I regret all of this in second thoughts. There it is. Here's how it works. I have a list of second thoughts provided by the producers of this program, and we'll go through them and see if I made any kind of mistakes I should feel profound regret about. And by the way, would love to know what regrets you have about this evening, any second thoughts you have, either in this show or more broadly. All are welcome. First up, my joke about Mr. Wonderful, more like Mr. Wonderful and Marty Supreme, bombed as hard as anything has so far bombed in this room. Absolute fucking silence after that joke. But I don't regret it. I'm leaving it in.
That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
I don't regret it. I'm leaving it in.
And that's what I say when I want a 3-day orgasm.
Next regret. I respect Daniel Day-Lewis, and we'd love to have him on the show.
You give anyone 20 hours for a take.
You can piece it together. You can piece it together.
Hey, this is why self-tapes are a problem. This is why Daniel Day-Lewis is self-tapes. You can't trust him.
Now,
I regret that.
I don't regret it for you. I like that. Stand like 10 toes down in it. But all this stunt casting they've got going on for Oh Mary, I think the ultimate stunt casting is if Daniel Day-Lewis went in as Mary Todd Lincoln in Oh Mary on Broadway.
Look at John Lovett's face.
My mind is blown. That is such a good idea.
It's such
and
a good idea.
And that's how he retires from acting? That'd be fucking
crazy. And then you know I play Mary's husband. I'm just literally trying to find work after this film.
How many times are we Daniel Day-Lewis retiring? It's like he seems to retire after every film.
Yeah, every time.
He's retired until he does another movie, which is just, that's just being an actor.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cher's been on her retirement tour since before I was born.
Also, on the off chance Daniel Day-Lewis or Steven Spielberg like know who I am and are fans and are like offended by this, like I'm really sorry.
I'll talk to them about it.
And I'd like to mention that I've said nothing against anybody.
A couple things. I let the food talk. I let the foot talk get out of control. I let the balls talk get out of control. I regret bullying that woman into liking Meryl Streep. And her sister into having a bigger cast party. I think I brought a lot of baggage from when I wasn't invited to parties when I was a little boy. Stop that train! But we do have to stop this show. Thank you so much to Adam Shankman, Ginger Minja, Rachel Bloom. There are 166 days until the midterms. We will be back on Wednesday, June 3rd with Tig Notaro and Aparna Nancherla. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we will see you in about a week, I guess. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.